This is the Hard Sell. We are the Luxury Pickers and we are back live and direct from the podcast studio. We don't have a podcast studio.
We do. This is the podcast studio in Vidicommas.
Okay, fine. We are back. I know it's been a long time. I know you've been waiting for the podcast. I know. Why haven't we been filming them?
You know.
Making them.
Yeah,
voicing
we don't film these anymore. You know what? The amount of people actually which have said, we've had mentions say, oh, I love your podcast, blah, blah, blah. I'm glad they've only just found us because otherwise they would realise we're actually sellouts and we haven't put a new podcast up for a couple months now.
Do you know what? It's oddly really taxing. Like, I feel more so than, drained.
More so than YouTube, more so than anything else. And yeah. Not because you have to kind of, I don't know. This is the easiest thing to do because we just blabber.
Yeah.
By the same token, to actually organise ourselves for an hour or two and just to sit down to do it.
Yeah.
Because even our YouTube videos, when we voice them over, it's kind of very similar, but you look at it, something you can talk about something you're looking at, right? Visually.
Yeah.
But, and the actual content of the YouTube videos, the filming, is just a kind of, it's, you're following us around. You're strapped to our chest and you kind of walk around with us.
Yes.
This is something separate, which you have to actually settle down to and say, right, for the next 2 hours or hour or whatever it is, you're going to have to do X.
But this has been highly requested, and I thought I would give the people what they want.
I don't want to give them what they want. What they want?
We did a YouTube video talking initially about Poshmark.
Yep.
Poshmark has officially come to the UK, and we did a...
It hasn't officially. Well, it has officially, but yeah. It's in beta.
And we did a YouTube video talking about it. And it was obviously a very, like, at the beginning of time, really, in terms of our experience with Poshmark.
Yeah, of course.
And we've learned some things. We discovered some things. We have navigated some things. And as more people are being let into beta and being let into the beginning stages,
yeah.
I think this is a good time to put it in podcast form
and
talk you through Poshmark UK.
I think this could be helpful for one, people who are already on there and maybe kind of wondering, maybe they put a few items on and thought, what the heck is this? I have this alien to me. Two, for anyone who's really, really good at it and maybe they just want to kind of, they would kind of give us
just absorb
a reference.
Information.
Exactly that, to give us a reference for what we're talking about. And also for people who maybe want to get on it or will get on it when it kind of rolls out officially to everyone else ASAP.
100%. Poshmark is a whole beast of a thing. And we get regular messages about Poshmark and about the beta stages and just as an app in general. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this in two parts, I think, right?
Okay.
So the first part, we're going to talk about our experience with Poshmark, how we got onto it.
From day one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about basic things like I've literally got my phone open at this point to like walk through like different features and what you can do that's different to other applications, different marketplaces.
I'm just
going to
say that you just said different. Yeah, the difference is because once again, like we don't have to explain about uploading a photo unless it's, you know, particularly different. But there are so many major differences and so many different procedures they have on Poshmark as opposed to any other kind of platform, if you want. I think it's important to talk about all those.
And then we'll do another podcast, I think, talking about our personal pros and cons and our opinions on it and
cool.
where
right.
we see the future of Poshmark.
Yeah, fair
Does
enough.
That make
Personally,
sense?
Yeah. And once again, everything you hear on this podcast is our own opinions. If you don't like them, no problem.
That's okay. So basically, Poshmark, for anyone who doesn't know, is a new marketplace. It's new to the UK. However, it is a hugely established marketplace in the US, Canada, India,
yeah, they have an India.
And Australia.
Yep.
Biggest, obviously, in Canada and
the
US. As people probably know, it's one of the platforms a lot of the American resellers talk about, both on YouTube and on Instagram, and we have been waiting for it to come to the UK.
We have indeed. Just going back quickly to America as well, someone we've mentioned before and we follow on Instagram a lot, which is the eBay Princess, which is I can't remember her handle on
Elux
on Poshmark. Once again, if you're on Poshmark already, check it out, and if you're not, when you do get on there, check it out. The person behind it, I think her name is Holly, she has just reached, I think, a million in sales on Poshmark. So however you look at it, and this is based on pretty much one or two brands, like across the board. So when you think about someone reaching $1 million in sales, I just think, I don't care if you're selling shoestrings, bikinis, ties, wallets, or clothes. The truth of the matter is, a million in sales is a million in sales.
It's a lot of money for one platform, isn't
it? It is. No matter your cost. And people all say, oh, it's a million in sales. It can be. Yeah, listen, to do a million in sales, your business has to be able to cope with $1 million in sales.
Yeah.
That to me is impressive, irrelevant of profit or anything else. I'm not saying it's good or a bad thing. I'm just saying to have that as an amount, I think, is impressive.
And it shows you can make the money on the application or the website as well. I mean, yeah, we talk about six-figure resellers all the time and we talk about that kind of thing. And yes, she could have spent 900K on stock and made 100K. However, she still turned over that amount on that website, showing you it's capable for you to sell that amount of stock worth on the website. Does that make sense?
Totally.
It means that the website has legs.
I was just going to say, it means that there's a thirst trip, there's an audience for it. And above anything else, like you just said, with that kind of thing, I think people sometimes get it twisted about, you know, like turnover profit, all the rest. We won't go into all that now. But what I will say is a lot of times, especially in the States, people leverage things against you know, the other. So, for example, they might only make 100K on that million, if you want to be really smart about it. By the same token, the fact they had a million in sales, you'll find that the banks and lending streams and things like that, especially in the States, will offer you far more than that 100,000 based on the fact you can prove that you've got a million going through your books.
Yes.
It's a very different kettle of fish. And once again, that's why I think kind of in translation, it gets lost a little bit, that kind of whole six, seven, eight-figure reseller. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we were actually nominated to be on the first round, the very first round of beta testing for Poshmark. We were actually nominated by some of our American viewers. Big up to you. We didn't apply to go on to Poshmark. We didn't contact Poshmark.
That's not a brag. We would have tried to if we could, but we didn't know how to.
I heard it was coming to the UK, but I didn't, you know, there was no indication of when that was. Anyway, we got a couple emails from like a couple of other resellers did in the space, and we were happy to jump on that train when it started rolling.
Yeah.
So initially we were put into a chat. Essentially, it's very much like Teams, like Microsoft Teams.
Yep.
But it's a thing called Geneva. I've never used it before, but it's basically just like a space.
A forum, like a chat room.
Yeah, like loads of different chat rooms. So there was like bugs and fixes.
Yep.
Because this is a beta system, there's going to be issues. And the reason they got like 500 people to test it is so that they could iron out all the issues before it was general public release. So,
and all of a sudden they've got 100,000 people having issues.
Yeah. And it was to build a community, build a space of like-minded people that were into reselling or selling their own things that could all communicate and create a community together.
So let me stop you there then. That first point you just made, do you think, over anything else you've dealt with, and I know we haven't been in beta stages of anything else like this, especially not a platform which is new, do you think they've done that?
What?
Created, you said they wanted to try and create, in your opinion.
Yeah, so one of my biggest reservations, is that the right word?
Yep.
Is that when uploading to Poshmark, it isn't open to the general public. So in theory, we're selling to other resellers.
Which is a hard thing to do.
A little bit counterproductive. Anyway, but however, it was to encourage them to try out the payment systems, to try out the postage systems, to try out just basic listing, to get some bulk inventory onto the app before it was open to the general public. And it was very much encouraged through a credit system. So you upload a certain amount of listings and you get a credit that you can spend with other sellers on the website so that the money got flowing around the website and they could see how it was working and how it performed.
I will say we bought a few bits and pieces from other resellers, and by the same token, we sold some bits to other resellers, which is kind of cool because not only I think in a backwards way, like you said, and I thought that initially when they said like kind of you can kind of buy between yourselves, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, what? Like, we're resellers, we don't sell to each other. The mad thing is I don't know many people. If anyone's done any sales on there, you've sold to a reseller. Unless you're on that app, you're like, very few people are not resellers which are on that app. There's very few just kind of, I've got, you know, even if you've got like two items on there, it's probably because you haven't put any more items on there.
Yeah.
It's not because you're not a reseller, which I actually think the community vibe works very well personally.
Yeah, and they're all very helpful because obviously the workers or employees of Poshmark, although they're on the chat, they have weekends off, they have evenings off, they have lives.
They're allowed to work, they're allowed to not work.
But everyone was having bugs at different points. And
yes.
A lot of the American people and sellers on there who had established audiences and customer bases in America were very quick to help, and they were very efficient to help because they knew how the system worked. They it's tried and tested.
Yes.
They had like gold ambassadorship in the US. They knew what they were doing. Does that make sense?
And I think, once again, like you just said, because this isn't something like which they brought to the UK and just kind of like just thought, oh, well, whatever. It's kind of, we'll just see how it goes. They have had lots and lots and lots of help from the as they call poshers, the people who are the kind of Poshmark users, if you will, from the US and Canada and all the other places they're available. And I think that that's helped us, as in the UK guys, so much, because you've been able to say, do you know what? How about blah, blah, blah? How do you do this or how do you do that? And I think that's a massive thing. So that forum, like you say, Geneva, which I'll call it a forum, I'm old fashioned, but that's kind of what it is.
Chat room.
There's different sections. But I feel it's more like a chat room, like I just said, because it's more instantaneous messaging. Yeah. Whereas forums, it's like you'd post something 6 hours later, Greg409 responded. You know, like, you know what I mean? It's very good in that respect.
They also came at us very early with in-person events and actually network in person and learn more about the app and the how Poshmark works as a company.
So explain what that entailed and that what
so
they were
they
talking
did,
about.
So they did like a thing called Posh and Pub, which they did one in London, they did one in Bristol, and they're also doing a party or something in Bristol in London later on this month. And it basically was an opportunity to first come, first serve, but for as many people as they could have the capacity to come to these events and network and talk about the app and talk about the future of the app and, you know, different things that we would like for the app or different things that we think the app needed. Or, you know, I'm not talking about like any tech stuff. I'm talking about whether it needed a bigger colour selection or more categories in the clothing categories or whatever.
How you'd relay your business information, how they would take that information, just almost like kind of the menial admin-y kind of side of the tech. Not anything which would change your life, but some things which maybe you'd find off-putting or would annoy you.
What's that
thing
that they do on The Apprentice where they take the product to the core audience and they get them to read it and test it and then tell them market research. Essentially, that's what it was.
They've given a reselling platform to a bunch of resellers and said, here you are, guys, what do you think?
However, it was very nice.
It was very good though.
Yeah, and it was put together well, and you got to meet all the sort of Poshmark employees and things like that. So it was a good space and a good vibe. Anyway, back to the app. So I was very keen to try it, and I do the majority of the listing within our duo, just because I'm an absolute massive control freak. And my first reservation, if I'm honest, was manual listing. Now, we use ZipSale, which is a cross-listing application where you basically, we list to eBay and then you can cross
feed
list
off
to Depop, Vinted, and all the others, Etsy, things from that. And so technically, I only manually list to eBay and Vestiaire at the moment, even though ZipSale's getting best, yeah.
Because everything else would kind of just feed off on fire. Yes. ZipSale would feed off to Vinted, Depop, wherever else.
Vestiaire on the computer. So I have a very good system going where I basically list Cohen together.
When you say computer, you sound like you're 84 years old.
A laptop?
It's not a mobile device.
Yes, on the desktop. What did you say?
I don't even know just the way you said that. I just thought they just had a very old-fashioned. On the computer. It's like my mum for, what's this? It's a mouse.
And at the moment, I don't have a mouse. I love a mouse. I love one of those clicky-clacky keyboards.
The keyboards. ASMR.
Yeah, I love one of those. Anyway, back to it. So my immediate reservation was the fact that
another place to list.
I'm going to have to list manually. And not just that. At the moment, during beta, it is just a mobile application.
Right.
Which is terrifying.
Yes.
Firstly, I don't like listing on mobile. That's my personal preference. I'm very much a
computer gal.
Yeah, and I touch type, so I don't even have to look.
Look, yeah, you do. You actually watch TV sometimes whilst kind of doing these listings.
Yeah, the only thing I have to do is put the photos in. Everything else is touch type.
Yep.
So, and then obviously I just look for it just to check I haven't been auto-corrected by Apple. So that was concerning for me in terms of time efficiency. Because to manually list, especially on a mobile where it isn't my main listing platform, I'm a bit slower. My opposable thumbs don't move as fast as I'd like them to move.
To be quite obvious, everything's smaller. So if you're used to, like you say, to touch type almost on a keyboard or on your laptop, like what's really strange is when you go onto a phone, yeah, most people can text or email out and stuff without looking. But at the same time, when you're putting a listing up or you have to click that drop down, it's a constant thing you have to look at. It's not as easy as that, is it?
From my perspective, as soon as it came out, eBay was still having to take priority, and so was Vestiaire. Obviously, they're our main earners. Like, I didn't expect Poshmark to start bringing, making me millions within a week, right?
Well, yeah, even more so the fact that, to be quite frank, it's only like 400, 500, 600 of us in there.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it maybe if from day one there were like 10,000 people, it would
and
be different.
Of those people, I would say only maybe 10 to 20% were active. Yeah. And talking uploading, sharing.
I would actually say that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Anyway, so that did put me off. However, I have been trying to do it to the best of my abilities. I'm trying really hard to manually list as fast as I can, but it's not as fast as for my preferred speed.
Well, it's because you like to be like a speed demon. Like, you on eBay is like watching something from like a movie. It's insane.
Yeah. I'm at the minute listing a minimum of 30 listings a day, which I want to up because I want to have a 2-week scheduled. We're planning to go away a lot in the summer, and we got a lot coming up, so I want to be scheduled.
And I'm a banked, really, don't you?
I want to be banked, and I find it extremely hard because obviously we run 2 eBays and then multiple different platforms, so it gets a bit, you know, it gets a bit time consuming. Anyway, going back to Poshmark, so to look at, and I'm looking at it right now so we can do it like real time so you can understand how I understand, right?
Yep.
It's very similar to look at like eBay. No, I didn't even know why I said that. It's very similar to look at like Instagram.
Yep.
So the first thing you'll see is a feed, which will have a search bar at the top. And then obviously you can search for members, you can search for items. You're very much similar to any marketplace. You can search for Vivienne Westwood, or you can search for site race specific, like Vija trainers in a size 7.
Yep.
And then from there is basically your feed. So very, very similar to an Instagram feed. So the things you're liking, the people you're following, they come up.
So in that respect, a cross between kind of that so far, we're talking about a cross between Depop and Instagram, as much as if you follow someone on there, from what I'm gathering, is when you actually do follow someone, they'll come up on your feed. So if, for example, Bill49 has just uploaded a pair of boots, they will be on your feed.
Yes, but from what I can see, because we obviously follow quite a lot of people to get that interaction, it thrives off of customer and seller interaction.
It's a social thing.
Yeah. From what I can see, is not all those people show up on your feeds. It's the people you interact with the most.
Right, okay.
Just the same as Instagram. So I talk to one person a lot all the time.
They're the top of your
stories. Feeds will come up.
Yeah, I'm with you.
First, and it's very similar to that. And then people can share you, etc. But I'll get onto that in a moment. The next tab is shop. So it will give you all the categories of things to buy, and then you can favorite your favorite brand. So if you're particularly into Lucy and Yak, and you're waiting for Lucy and Yak jungeries to come up, you can favorite that, and then that will come up in your shop feed.
I actually think when that gets kind of given to the masses, that will be really handy, because for me, for example, if I'm looking for like luxury items.
Yeah.
And I 99% of the time I buy luxury items.
Yeah.
Pre-owned. Like, it's one of those things that on eBay I have loads of flags already. Like, so when this is available, I'll buy it instantly. I can see it's cheap enough, or I'll send them an offer. It's productive for me to do that.
Yeah.
So that is available on Poshmark also.
Yeah, and it's very similar to browsing your favorite website, like going into Harvey Nichols websites, and you've got women's, you've got men's, you've got children's, you've got women's shoes, you've got women's clothes. Yep. It's very similar basis. Now, the only thing that changes is you can shop. They have like a list of people you interact with regularly, so you can shop easily from those people. They do it in terms of less of like your friends and more of people you bought from before, or people
like a shopping history
you've viewed multiple times.
Yeah.
And things like that. And then they do these things called parties. Now, parties.
So this isn't we're not talking about going to somewhere and having a drink.
No, this is
we're talking about on the app, right?
Yeah, in app they do these things called parties, and every night there'll be a different theme. So tonight is kids and toddlers, and it enables users of the app to share all their kids and toddlers outfits or things to sell, shoes, things, into this party,
right.
And it sort of highlights them.
Right. So tonight we're highlighting kids' wear or children's wear,
yeah.
I should say, and then basically you would share your own?
It's like Spotlight. It's like Spotlight on vintage. You're basically giving those items
a push.
Boost.
Right, I'm with you, okay.
Yeah, and they do different themes. So tomorrow is best in shoes, the next day is vintage posh party, the next day is bank holiday ready. You do not have to join in, but like we said before, it's a very social app, and they really thrive on people getting involved, people connecting with the community, joining the parties, liking and sharing.
And sharing, yes.
And sharing's a massive part of it, which I was going to talk about.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
As a his whole entity in a okay. minute. You can also find people local to you. You can find people who went to your college or your school.
Let me jump in there, local to you. So we were looking a couple of weeks ago and something came up that we realised there was someone local to us which was selling something we were interested in, right? Which I think is really cool. Obviously, I know that for a lot of people, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference, their location. Mm. But from my point of view, I also think that's really cool because then you kind of, that social thing becomes almost a real thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, so-and-so from Instagram is actually on this app, which we didn't know. And all of a sudden, we're buying from that person. I think that's not only great for the buyer and the seller, but also sometimes a location, I think it's helpful to know.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get across in a long-winded way.
100%. And then you have your personal news feed, which will bring up everyone who's liked your items, everyone who on your friends list who are doing their own lives, for example, anyone who's commented on your items, anyone who sent you an offer on your items and all your orders and
basically,
things like that.
Basically, it's your notifications page, right?
It's your notifications page. But they make it look very similar to Instagram's notification page, right? So then you go to your main profile so you can upload your profile picture. It's very much like an eBay storefront. And we're trying to run this podcast very technical, very like, so you can understand the app in like, you can listen to us in the car and you can really take in the info.
Yeah. Because once again, with all due respect, a lot of people listening to this, I would guess, maybe don't have access to the app yet or access to the, so we're trying to kind of give you a visual of what you can expect when you do see it.
And so you can have your profile picture, you can have your banner, very, very similar to eBay storefront. You have a little bit about you, and then you have your listings. And the listings are laid out visually like Vinted. It looks the same as Vinted.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So it tells you the title of your item. It tells you whether it's how much it's for sale for. And it tells you the size.
It also has like, if you're kind of overlook, if you will, when you've searched for something or you're looking at a certain profile, across the board then it will give you, like you said, it's kind of windows. You'll have kind of multiples of whatever you're selling, correct?
Yeah.
It's a whole bit, what I'm saying. It's not like a feed as an Instagram in that perspective where you've got one picture, then you scroll to the next. They're all sat there like they would on any other list, on any other, like you said, I think Depop or specifically Vinted is more the best kind of visual I can give you.
Yeah, like little Polaroid pictures, really.
Yes.
And you can like, you can add to your bag and you can share. Now, they suggested in the chats and from the advice we've had from the people that work for Poshmark, is the suggestion is only to like items that you are interested in. And I know on eBay we have a watches scheme and a lot of people watch things to see how much they go for and things like that. They're very much encouraged on Poshmark to only like if you're serious about buying or if you're interested in buying. That allows you, just like on eBay, to send offers to people that have liked.
So in the same way I can watch an item on eBay and then you can send the offers to the watchers, if you will. What you're saying is don't like if you really have no interest in actually buying, because you might be wasting someone's time the other end because they might actually get an offer for it.
I think it's something to do with the algorithm, and it's very much back. It's very much got a lot of going on behind the scenes. So if you're sending to an offer to someone who then actively buys, that system's worked and the Poshmark see that from behind the screens.
Whereas
they go, oh, their offer system worked.
If I've just happened to like 20 of my friends' photographs or items, I should say, but I have no interest in buying, when those offers are sent out blanket, like it just makes them look bad because all those offers they've sent out, I haven't picked on any of them because I never planned to buy them.
It's like an empty watch. It just doesn't help. It just muddles with the algorithm.
And I also think, like from years ago, even more so years ago, using Depop initially when it first came out, a lot of people would like stuff, and the first thing people used to do, and I used to get it all the time, you'd like something. I used to like it to kind of be in my peripheral, so when I go back through my likes I can remember what I was looking at, and I like the item. But then you get a message within about 2 minutes and say, hi, if you're interested in the item, I can let it go for blah, 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 and give me an offer. And that was very annoying.
Yeah.
So I think, once again, it stops all that as well.
Yeah. And there are two different things as well, which I'm just going to touch on. I'm not going to go into depth with. I haven't experienced it in terms of actually using it actively. But I do want to talk about it very briefly. They do have a bundle system, which works very similarly to Vinted's bundle system, although they make it a little bit more technical than it needs to be. And people can bundle items together and then send you an offer, and you can send an offer back, and
quite self-explanatory when you get into the app.
Or you can target your offers, so you can target your offers to people that previously bought from you and you understand their style aesthetic.
Okay,
so say Gabby 614 has bought 6 YSL shirts from you in the past,
and you've got YSL shirts,
you can send them an offer
That's very clever.
For that item specifically.
That's very clever.
Knowing their, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about repeat customs. It's all about creating a community of people that buy from you. Like, if your favourite shop.
Do you know what? Just quickly on that. One of the first things anyone I'd spoken to, and this is multiple people within kind of the Poshmark app and people I know personally now, the first thing they all said to us was the exact same thing. When they bought from us or we bought from them or vice versa, the first thing they said was they never would have bought those items because they didn't know they existed on our eBay.
Yes.
Because they don't go to our shop thinking, oh, we'll have a look at their shop and yes. see what they got. Maybe sometimes have a little nose to see how we do our photographs or what we've got online for sale. But they wouldn't go through 1,000 items or 2,000 items, right?
No.
Wouldn't happen. However, when you upload and it's on their feed and they're able to see it.
It's very browsy.
Which also leads me to the share thing. Now, explain the share thing because I would also say, but when you go on to it, this is why I was aware of a lot of people's items due to sharing because I was physically sharing these items and I knew they had them.
Well, the thing is, like, just for a pure example, we bought some things in the beta stages for our small human from Chatty P and Lola. And, well, it's just Lola, actually. It's Lola on the app. And I have never...
He's in the picture, though.
I have never browsed their eBay store. I wouldn't, because it's boring.
No, not their
stuff. But eBay browsing is so
exactly.
boring.
No one goes to, like, I don't care. Even some of the most, like, high-end luxury, what do you call it, resellers on eBay, I will look at one or two of the items I've searched and I found. I won't run through, even though their store is amazing, full of great stuff, it's so boring. eBay is a browsing.
I think
Vinted more interesting than to browsing than that.
I think it's a specifics. Like, I only go on eBay personally to buy if I'm looking for something specific.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for a Cabbages and Roses jumper, or I'm looking for a Toast coat.
And what you do is you put that into the search bar, and when you don't see it, or you don't see what you like, or you see what you like, you buy it, and that's it. You never, unless you're, I mean, up until recently, unless you were using Vinted and you were looking to bundle it to make it a bit cheaper in general, yeah. you wouldn't even look through the whole store to see anything else.
No.
So explain to me now, what I'm asking is, with the share thing, how does that change things?
So sharing is interesting. Now, we've talked before on this podcast and on YouTube and on Instagram and just generally every day we're live about Depop repopping. Now, they've actually created something called repopping. They totally nicked it from us, but it's not what we do. So
no,
repop is basically refreshing. So what you do is you click edit on every single one of your items and it jumps it back up to the top of the search results.
You go in, you click edit, you don't change anything, but you complete it as if you had edited something.
And it comes up like a new item.
Exactly that.
It's like bumping your own stuff. Now, this they do within Poshmark, but it's called sharing. And not only can you do your own sharing, you can do other people's sharing. So, for example, it's like a little two triangles and you click on it and you press share to your followers. And it basically boosts their listing up. So it looks like a new listing.
And it will not only show on their feed, it'll only show on your feed, as yeah. in you've shared it, but it'll also boost up anyone who's followed you. They will be able yeah. to see that as almost like a new listing.
And many people have asked the employees at Poshmark about the algorithm, how to best use the algorithm, how the algorithm works within Poshmark. And the only response they've ever come back with is sharing.
Yeah, share.
Boosts to the top of all the like new listings. And all the Americans I've spoken to and all the Canadians I've spoken to have said the same thing. Now, in America, they have a very different system in terms of how they operate this, because you'll see on the app that a lot of Americans have like 100,000 shares. And you're like, this is taxing. How can anyone do that? Well, it's already quite established in the US and in Canada that they use third-party bots, which basically share
sharing
for
tool.
You.
Yeah, sharing tools.
It's a sharing tool.
So throughout the day, they'll kind of go electronically or do-do-do-do,
yes.
you know, it would be done,
and
as opposed to my finger, which
and
hurts.
And it boosts your, obviously, profile as well. You can also share your whole wardrobe, and you can do this. It does it automatically. You just press share all, and it does every item in your closet for you, which is, I think, is fantastic. And they recommend you do this twice a day, which in theory is taxing
yep.
in terms of if you're a busy person.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people, time is of the essence. What I do personally is in the morning when I wake up, I do the whole thing. I click on share all and I let it do automatically while I'm waking up. And then I'll do it about lunchtime when I'm just like settling down maybe to do some listing
yep.
or if I'm about to photograph or whatever the schedule is, or if I'm in the car and we're sourcing. And then I'll do it in the evening.
So did you just say, just to clarify, you said automatically, what you're saying is, what you're saying is your own store, just to clarify, you can share as many kind of refresh share if you want, as many of your items as you want, or everything in one go.
Yes.
Only your store, though. Everyone else's stuff to share, you have to do individually.
Yes.
You have to click on every single one. So, for example, if I want to share my whole store, which at the moment is like 300 odd products, right?
Yes.
I can share that within probably a few minutes by using the automatic kind of process. Yeah. That isn't available for other people's items.
No.
So if I want to share, for example, someone else's store who's got maybe 500 or 600 items, I have to click those items individually, share each one. And after I've done 600, which might take me 20, 30 minutes, they will show on my amount of shares. Now, what they've said to us, like you said, in Poshmark specifically, is that gets you kind of technically further on along in the algorithm, because you're sharing, and what you're doing basically is you're helping the app. You're making more people see more product from more other people, and that is what they want to happen.
In theory, create your own algorithm.
Yes.
And they say that is the key. So at this moment, we're sitting on 33,000 shares, which we have manually... That means we've manually shared 33,000 items.
We've had a couple of people reach out to us, actually, and ask what bot we're using. And I said at this point, hang on a sec, is there a bot? I was like, if there is a bot, I'm not going to lie to you, I would happily use one if it was that simple. They don't have one in the UK, guys. It's my fingers. Just crack on. Sit there. You can do about 1,000, maybe 2,000 a day.
Most of it is the Americans.
Yeah, because they're really bots. We've actually had a lady message a couple of days ago and said, what bot are you using? I was like, I wish. And she actually said, you know, in America, they use them constantly. Yeah. That's like a known thing. I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying it's a thing. At the moment, that's not available in the UK. So just keep on sharing. And I'm afraid you have to use your fingers and crack on, guys.
And to encourage this, they offer something called the ambassador system. And the ambassador system is very much like a blue tick on Instagram. It just means you're verified, you're a supported, and what's the word?
You're too legit to quit.
you're a credited seller.
Yeah, they're aware of you. You're okay. You can do what you do. You know, that kind of thing.
And to do that, you have to manually do 5,000 shares. You have to have listed a certain number of items. You'd have to have a certain amount of reviews, 5-star reviews.
There was a whole list of different things.
Timings,
right?
Of sending, and also And there's a few different things now. There's a few of us in beta that have got that, and you'll notice that there's a little red star next to our names. So that's essentially what the ambassador, Poshmark ambassador, and you can also get gold ambassador, but I don't think they've launched that yet in the UK, and that's basically just like a superseller.
It's a superseller, and it's an extended version of what we were just talking about. For example, there's more shares needed, there's more sales needed. And I think at the moment in beta, I think in actual fact, I think it requires so many sales that to actually complete that gold brand. I don't think that's actually...
It's 50 or something.
There's not enough people on the app at the moment to actually do that properly.
So then there's also... there's your wardrobe, and your wardrobe is your storefront. And then there's boutique. And boutique is newer tags. Now, I did talk to one of the Poshmark employees about this, and it's only suggested if the items are wholesale.
As in you've got multiple, yeah?
From one category.
Right.
So women's dresses or new tags.
Got it.
Or like a homemade product like jewellery or something you've
made. Oh, in which case I'm wholesaling it. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
He didn't recommend it for us even, because I said, well, I've got lots of things with newer tags. You reckon I'd recommend putting in boutique? He said, you'd have to make too many boutiques.
Yeah, so basically what they're saying is, if I've got, for example, for my wholesaler, for example, I bought 15 of the same dress, in different sizes, maybe a different colour. That would be a perfect boutique item.
Yes.
But Austin having 27 YSL shirts, all different colours, all different sizes, all different styles, that's not the same thing.
No.
Okay?
No. And then they obviously have the following system, and you follow different accounts and you get followers back. It's very much similar to Instagram, but in the sort of... they intend for you to follow more people, and then in turn you share each other's stuff.
Yep. And actually, I was just thinking, we were talking about sharing, I was actually just thinking, which is, maybe it's just me, but it's quite interesting. So the way that sharing works, you mentioned something which I thought was clever. You're kind of creating your own algorithm, right?
Yeah.
And what that means is, so say for example, I've got an account, you've got an account. I share all my stuff. I share all your stuff. Then you share all my stuff, right? But also... Jane shares your stuff. Jane happens to see you've shared my stuff. Jane starts sharing my stuff. I share Jane. All of a sudden, you, I know that sounds kind of complicated to figure, but I'm saying everyone is sharing everyone. And eventually what happens is constantly you're showing people stuff and it's everywhere, yeah, to the point that it basically like cogs. If everyone works off each other and then everyone works off that person, and all of a sudden you've got a constant chain of people showing your product to the point, which does work. Mm-hmm. You make sales. For example, we were sharing some stuff a week or so ago. We had a massive kind of sharing spree, and we shared like maybe 1,000 in the sake of an hour or something. And what I found was all these different people we were sharing, because obviously in an hour you can share a lot of different kind of closets or people in general. They'd start sharing you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we had one or two sales come through, and it was like, that's amazing, because what that means is from me sharing someone else's product and not really even mentioning mine, they felt it necessary to do the same for me, and I've sold product because of it. It's very clever.
They also have stories, which obviously is very much like Instagram, and you can share stories of the items in your closet, or like close-up pictures, or maybe it being worn. You can also upload like videos. You can upload little like vloggy things if you want to about your products, and you can then tag your products, the listings, in the stories, so it makes it easier for people just to one-click buy.
So I've seen a story of you showing me a bag. I can click on that, boom, I can take it to the listing. That's clever.
It's like Instagram Shop, but without any effort.
I was just going to say Instagram Shop. It reminds me of Instagram Shop, but Instagram Shop is a nightmare thing to use.
Because you have to go through Facebook.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a nightmare.
Unless you have a Facebook Marketplace, and once again, it's all different. It's just another thing to do, isn't it, for no reason, whereas this is just all hyperlinked to the gods.
Another thing that they're bringing into effect, and they've only just come out of beta in the US, so it's sort of like a new thing I don't think we'll get for a little bit of time yet, is lives. So okay.
So what do you mean by lives?
So literally, as I say it, so you can do live shows where you show off products, like hauls, if you want, without, you know, telling you how much you paid.
Like whatnot.
And then you can tag the products in it. So as you're showing the person, that you're showing your audience the product, they can click it
amazing,
and purchase. A lot of people, now this is a real algorithm mood starter. I have been told on good authority that the reason there are so many lives in the US, and if you're on the app, you'll see get loads of notifications for people doing lives, is because it is the biggest algorithm booster that you can do.
What they're basically saying, right? So for example, you know the age old debate we've had about the algorithm with eBay, right? The more you list, the more constant you are with it, whether it's 10, 20, 50, I don't even care. But as long as you're listed on eBay, they're more likely to recommend you rather than someone who lists one today, and in 3 weeks time they list four, and in 3 weeks, the guy who's doing 10 every day, 20 every day, they're more likely to push you, right? Mm-hmm. In the same respect, what you're saying to them by doing a live is, I believe in you. I'm trying to push you. I'm trying to push Poshmark. I'm trying to make you some money whilst making me some money. Because obviously they make some money whilst you sell. But you're kind of saying, you're giving them a thumbs up and saying, I'm trying to push you too. Let's get some lives. Let's spend some time selling some stuff on Poshmark. You make money, we make money, right?
Yes.
They're more likely to push you. It's as simple as that in a different way.
Yes. Yeah, however, some Americans do, and Canadians do what they call silent parties or silent lives.
You told me this is sneaky.
Yeah, where it's just a black screen and they just highlight some of their wardrobe things to get pushed up in the algorithm.
Yeah, which I think is kind of naughty, but hey, it's a hack.
I think it'd be interesting, because I think here in the UK there is a big Instagram live haul culture, and I think people are used to doing it and like encourage doing it and like doing it, so I think it would just translate onto the app.
I actually think that's a really good point, because there's a lot of men and ladies actually who do a lot of Instagram hauls, do a lot of Instagram lives, that kind of stuff. And in actual fact, maybe they don't do YouTube, maybe they do, but based on that, they're obviously happy and confident enough to do that. It's not going to be any different doing it on that platform.
I'm actually really excited.
Especially if there's sales, that would be amazing.
I want to try and make it like a thing, like in terms of we just transfer Instagram live hauls to Poshmark. I mean, we still do Instagram, but we do one on Poshmark every now and then of new into Poshmark.
Amazing.
For people to enjoy. And you bring the same comedic flair and the same like cunning wit and beautiful faces, and it should be
alright.
Yeah,
I'll try, you know.
Anyway, now, yeah. Austin, are you ready for this?
No, I'm not.
Nitty Gritty, the thing you've all been waiting for. How much do they charge?
Anyway,
it's a free app, like anything else, like eBay or whatever. You don't have to pay a store cost or anything, you know. eBay are the only ones that like to rob you in that manner.
Also, unlimited items, am I right?
Unlimited items, I did ask about that. Oh, that strikes me as something I like to get into.
Yeah.
Unlimited items. However, they take a 20% flat, and I think... fees. I think there was a lot of controversy around this, especially when it first launched, about how high that is.
So now Sandra, the other end of this podcast, has kind of come to with the smelling salts that she's fainted because it was 20%.
Yep.
And she's really upset because it's going to hurt her feelings. Explain, like I explain about Vestiaire all the time, why you're not so concerned about
20%. 20%. Now, yeah, Vestiaire is quite hefty as well. Firstly, you should have a profit margin in which you can cope with fees. So as people that came from a retail premises and we had business rates, we had rent, we had lighting, we had
Wi-Fi,
electricity,
anything.
Electricity, heating, Christmas displays, marketing, yeah. Packaging. If you can't absorb 20%, we need to move it on.
And when you say 20%, listen, this isn't like, okay, so eBay is zilch, right? And you're paying 20% for Poshmark.
No.
Forget that for starters. If am I right in saying what's the average base level? Forget the added extras, but what's the kind of regulatory base level for a charging on eBay percent wise?
It depends where your account is. In standing wise, it depends what
average
category you're selling in.
Average 10%,
12 to 15.
Right. So say we're at 12. Right. Let's be kind. Let's say we're at 12. Now most people I know promote their listings.
Yep.
A minimum of 2 or 3%. You have
2%
is the lowest, right? So even at that, you're up to 14% already.
Yeah.
Correct? You also got on that for me. I don't know another person, which even if they send out those percentages and discount that, you can still receive offers on those percentages,
yeah,
correct? It's not like I've sent out this 2% discount.
Yeah.
You can't let go any less.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've watched a sales video from anyone on YouTube or Instagram of late, and they've said they paid full price, buy it now, boom, thank you. The reason we put best offers is because you're willing to take a bit more, right?
Yeah.
So let me work this out. I'm going to use a really simple amount just because it makes it easier. So on £100 on eBay, right? Let's forget everything else for a second. On £100 sale, forget postage.
Yeah.
If we take 14% off, right? That's £14.
Yeah.
You're left with £86.
Yeah.
Right? £86. Now, on...
take your postage out.
Something you are, you, if you, I'm going to say if you keep, oh yes, okay, because that's something else as well with Poshmark, isn't
well,
it?
Well, no, I'm saying on eBay you charge additionally for postage,
right?
However, they still take their fees from postage,
right?
So you need to take at least £2.50 out for postage of that item.
Okay, so you take £2.50. So we're now up to what is it? We were 86, I said.
Yeah.
So now we're up to 83.50. Right. So. Now you're near enough. Now what I'm saying is, if your percentage is 80, if your Poshmark was £80, right?
Yeah.
That's with no promotion, no nothing else. Now I know if there's anyone out there who's bought their item for more than a tenner, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Resellers are cheap. We're all cheap. I'm not shouting at anyone. That's us too. We don't like to spend a lot unless it's a real high end luxury piece.
Yeah.
In our case, for example. So if you're selling something for £80 and you can't afford an extra £3 for the fact you have so much more visibility,
yeah,
and more, that extra whole platform's worth of chance that you might sell something, what's £3.50?
100%.
And then people will be shouting at me, well, £3.50 is actually £2.50. Let me tell you, if you've spent £10 on the item and you're going to make £73.50 or £70, like... If you've got a side by side, and we've said this about Vinted before, I promise you those things won't both sell on the same platform. I promise you certain things will be better suited to Vinted or to Depop or to eBay. You might not even know which one would be suited better. Sometimes we don't. But what I'm saying is, with Poshmark, how it works, I think even down to brass tacks, you're probably running about the same money.
Yeah.
It's not like
it's
people.
It's minimal between them.
And why I know this is Vestiaire, the 20% thing. We've run these figures plenty of times.
Yeah.
In actual fact, what I found, which is really random, is so. I based that on someone being that 2%. That wasn't taken into account an offer on that price. That was just that base price, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I said on eBay originally. Now eBay is the offer central. Vestiaire, I always know if I want to sell something on Vestiaire because someone offers me maybe £10 off something which is £290.
Or they just pay full price. It's our biggest full price acceptance of a price that on any other platform.
They are willing to pay full price. So for anyone to argue that...
Because the product suits the platform.
Right. So I was just going to say, so for anyone at this point then to argue that Poshmark can't be that same situation without having used it and know what does... And we don't know that yet either, what works on there because it's not been open. But what I'm saying is to not even give it a chance, I think would be foolish.
Yeah, and even if you just put your higher margin profit items on, maybe.
For sure.
So if maybe you know you pay £10, it's only worth 20, then maybe leave that one off for now. Maybe try that on a different platform. Maybe focus your stock or focus the type of thing you want to sell on there and work that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll be honest, we don't list Mint Velvet on Vestiaire. And there's a reason. Because by the time you do that...
I don't list anything under £80 at the moment. On
that's what I'm saying. So if your main product is £20-30, I'm not saying it won't work on Poshmark. What I'm saying is that you've got to understand the fee structure. And it's still the same. It'll still work for you. But what I'm saying is we don't list low-end items on Vestiaire. Well, firstly, because the actual clientele on Vestiaire is a lot higher and the product they're looking for is usually more upper echelon than, for example, those kind of brands. But I think Poshmark could be a real good in-betweener.
Yes. And then the other thing is postage. So they charge a flat postage rate of £2.50. You can offer the client or the customer a discount on that to £1.50, or you can offer it free. Anything over a certain value is automatically free. It's over £300 is automatically free postage.
See, I think that's interesting because even if you buy a mirror for £600, I know a mirror is different, it's not clothes, but I'm saying even a nice coat or a nice pair of shoes. Like a Burberry Mac, if you get a proper, or even a Downfield something, if you get something like that, which weighs, you can end up paying a lot of money, especially insured shipping, which is your end to look after, remember, on eBay.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel strongly about their postage system. However, and they do a Royal Mail 48-hour service. You can have home collection or you can drop it off. We've been having home collection. It's quite efficient.
And it's outstanding.
Yeah, it is efficient, yeah. And then they measure you on how long you take to post the item. Not in a strict way, but it's encouraged to post it as quickly as possible.
I'll tell you something, which once again, I know we can have this to our door on eBay and so on, which we don't. We drop off still. We do have collections on odd occasion that it works better in our workday. What I will say, though, is the collection thing, personally, especially the guy who does 90% of the shipping, at least, for me, I like to know, right, that's going to be got right now because tomorrow morning, but between 10 and 11, postman's come to collect it.
And they can bring bring the labels for you if you don't have a printer, or you can print them yourself. We prefer to print ourselves, especially when we're sending multiple items and we know we're not in because we have a situation with our postman where he collects our post even when we're not
100%,
available. He doesn't know what's in each bag.
If I got 15 parcels, which has happened before, and I haven't printed my labels, I can't let that poor guy trying to sort that out. It's not his job to do that, you know?
But that's very efficient. That scheme is very efficient. I know lots of people like to use different couriers and use different services, but it is efficient. And while we're in the early stages, I do assume that maybe at a later date they will open up and you can choose your postage like Vinted.
I think also that depends on, to be honest, the commercialism of the company. If they decide all of a sudden Evri or DHL, maybe not DHL, but UPS or someone can maybe give them a few quid to be kind of the main processor for a Poshmark, there will be connections made. But for now, it's Royal Mail.
Yeah, 100%. And then they once they receive their item, they can mark it as received or they can wait for the 72-hour review period, very much like Vestiaire and Vinted. And then you automatically get your money into your redeemable account balance. So if they mark it as okay and leave you a review straight away, then that automatically goes through, or they can flag a problem very much similar to Vinted. And then they can leave a review, and the reviews aren't seen, as far as I can tell, aren't seen publicly.
It's just the
However,
stars?
However, no, I don't think you can see them as someone looking at our account.
Okay.
Let me know if it's any different over on Instagram at The Luxury Pickers. But as far as I can see, no one can see your reviews. I mean, we've only had 5-star, but I believe they can see it back end. And I was talking to someone, and the more negative reviews you get, Poshmark see it and your account is treated likewise, very similar to the algorithm on eBay.
So, but without people knowing. Yes. So what you're saying is you could have had a really bad review, but no one really sees that. What they do see, all of a sudden, maybe they see you less.
Yes.
Because Poshmark are like, hang on, these guys aren't really as good as they should be. Let's just not really push them so hard. One thing I was going to say as well, when we're talking about this whole kind of transactional thing, one thing I found very, very interesting when I was speaking to one of the guys from Poshmark, actually one of the head guys of Poshmark UK, he mentioned something, and I said this was the thing which would be not necessarily the eBay killer, but something that is so competitive. And one of the best things about Poshmark is when you make an offer, as a buyer, I make an offer to you. You have a pair of trousers I want for £50, right? I make an offer of 40. When I make that offer, they have my card details saved, or at least off my phone.
It's pre-charged.
Yep. So as soon as I click the offer button, I've offered you £40. I've accepted to give you £40 for those things.
Yes.
You just say yes or no. So what I'm saying is, on eBay and Vestiaire and very much the same with Depop, I can't send you an offer like those platforms, which I can, without confirming that I'm willing to pay that. And once you say yes, the payment just goes straight through. Yes. and the transaction is finished.
As soon as someone sends you an offer and you accept, that is a binding contract.
So what I'm saying is, what it eradicates is, someone mentioned on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember who it was, but they had a picture of like 4 or 5 unpaid for items. This physically can't happen with offers on Poshmark. If someone's offered you something, and you, whether you're happy or not to take it, that basically is them confirming they've already paid for it at that price. Whether you choose to take it or not, it's up to you. But what I'm saying is, you cannot be offered something, click yes, and then say, do you know what? I don't have that now. They have to buy. So from a buyer's point of view, you have no unpaid cases on offers, which I think is outstanding.
It's the one of the best features of Poshmark.
Did I explain that enough?
Yeah, you did. I think you got it. I think we should wrap this episode.
Yep.
And then I got a few tips and tricks that I've been told by the staff members. I've got a few
inside info
that I want to address in terms of how to get sales and people concerned about getting sales and have not had sales. I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about the number one controversial thing that I have to talk about with Poshmark UK.
And what is that?
As a big lover of Poshmark UK so far, I need to talk to you about the authenticity system.
Or as I like to call it,
lack of it.
Yeah.
Bakes. Anyway, so it's been a good 50 minutes of pure information. I know that was like massive information overload and it was just bang, bang, bang of information, but I hope it's helpful.
I do as well. I also think that if you're not on Poshmark, obviously because there aren't a huge amount of people on there, or maybe you are on there and you haven't really used it, hopefully you'll use it, or if when it does come out, you will be happy to use it. Or this is kind of more an informational podcast, but either way, I think, once again, we cover a lot of different kind of bases, whether we talk about Depop or eBay or whatever else. It's just some information we wanted to put out there and wanted to pass on to you guys without maybe, if you haven't been on the app yet, kind of what to expect.
Through.
Yeah, what to expect before you actually get on there. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe it is. Maybe you're like, I'm on the fence.
It's very complicated. It's not complicated, but it's full on. When you first download
it's all encompassing.
When you're used to platforms that are quite relatively simple, like Vinted and Depop and eBay is probably the most complicated, and a lot of people get to grips with it quite quickly.
I was just going to say, though, see, I know the eBay, you have the app version now as well, which a lot of people I know use, which I find kind of interesting. But if you think about Vinted, both Vinted and Depop didn't have, I don't think you can still use it, maybe I'm wrong, but Depop was made as an app, so to buy was on the app. Vinted you can do on the app. eBay now you can do on the app. What I'm saying is, eBay was made as a computer platform initially, the other two weren't, which is very interesting.
Yes, it's an interesting new thing to come to the UK, and we want to talk about it as thoroughly as possible. I know lots of people made videos about it, we made a video about it, but it's really talking about the nitty gritty and not gatekeeping any information. It's like getting as much information out as possible of how to control the animal.
The thing is, we have a great relationship thus far with everyone from Poshmark and anyone we've dealt with. What I would say, though, is, with all due respect, as much as it's great to be on the app, I'm not going to lie to you guys for the sake of, what, a pat on the back or thank you very much. Like, if I had to drop the app tomorrow, it's not going to change my business. I hope, though, I hope we can keep the app going and blast through this app and make a massive difference to our business by using it. It's a great tool. It's a great platform thus far. I think there's some things we need to talk about, and that is going to come on part two.
Side note, if you are thinking about using Poshmark, and you are you're going to have to manually list, and you want to streamline your other platforms, then we are, then use ZipSale. No, our friends over at ZipSale we're working with at the moment, and you know how much we talk about ZipSale anyway. We're going to leave our link down below to get a free month if you want to try it alongside Poshmark, and then you can streamline your whole approach if you're thinking about whether the manual aspect of Poshmark is going to be time consuming for you. And you need to condense your other things. This is not a sales pitch. This is just, just thought, actually, that's quite useful.
No, it's really useful. And I'll say, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you already list on eBay, guys, you're doing like 90% of the work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I think even you have to say, initially, before we used it, and we used, I think, thanks to Fake Rachel, if I'm honest, on Instagram. Go follow her. Great follow. And this is going back ages ago, age and ages ago. And what happened was, we wouldn't use Vinted. We used a little bit of Depop, but it was manual listing, and it was my manual listing, which, to be quite frank, sucks.
Yeah.
when it comes to the fact that you've done your eBay listing and you can just cross it over, honestly, don't pay for it. Just try it. Just try it for free. Just see what you think. And if you hate it, never use it again.
Yeah.
I promise you. I can't say it with enough enthusiasm. It works for us. It makes us more money. And the actual cost we pay is irrelevant when you come
especially
to actually the listing.
Especially when I'm adding so many manual listers to my repertoire.
You need everything else to be sped up.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, this has been The Hard Sell. We're going to teach you how to resell. Would just help you get better at it. Is that what I say?
Something like that. But let's be honest, some of the people right listening, I wouldn't even know it from the last episode. So go and listen to that one instead.
We'll upload the second part of Poshmark next. And we've got a great lineup of podcasts. I was going to say vlogs. Podcasts come in. If you don't already follow us on YouTube at The Luxury Pickers, we daily upload our adventures and what we pick up and hauls and things like that. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, that's where all the banging comedic value is.
There's also one other podcast you need to go and follow right now. It's called Boise Buys from Click Right on Instagram. The guy's an absolute legend. We met him at the Resale Summit. And you know what? We had a little bet that we hadn't put an episode out for a while. And he said he was going to put one out. If we put one out, we've put one out. Keep your end of the bargain. Let's get one up.
Yeah, or just listen to his back catalogue. That's cool too. So we'll see you in a few days, I guess, for the next instalment of Poshmark Uncovered. And then we'll be back weekly with you here at The Hard Sell with The Luxury Pickers.
Bye.